NST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is bye week or over bye week now. It feels like a little while since the Ravens have played some football. Luke Jones joins us now. We will be getting together on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back at one of our homelands up in Cockeysville. We'll be at Pappas. Got some great, great guests coming by on Friday, including a guy I know Luke Jones loves. Mike Bordick's going to be coming by with Frank Kolarik talking about Field of Dreams, as well as some other special guests on Friday, and I'm looking forward to that. It is a crab cake week around here. It is an interesting week after sitting around and watching what felt like 5 hours of football with the Bills and the Vikings. Luke, this league, man, you take a week off, you sit on the couch, and you come back up for air, and you're like, all right, other than the Eagles, who's any good?
Well, I think there are other good teams. I think Sunday was just a great example of how good this league can actually be when you look at what happened with Minnesota and Buffalo, which, for my money, Nestor, one of the best regular season games I've ever seen, and certainly one of the absolute best we've seen in recent years. I mean, that was between Justin Jefferson's catch and goal line plays and
the Buffalo crowd,
Buffalo doing a Giants against Herm Edwards impression. And I mean, just what we saw in overtime, just absolutely incredible. And, you know, a tough loss for the Bills. I think certainly a tough loss for Josh Allen's MVP candidacy, where, you know, you're looking at a guy that, elbow injury aside, he hasn't played very well for a few weeks now. And, you know, let's call a spade when we talk about Lamar Jackson struggling, you know, and comparing him to other guys. Josh Allen struggled the last few weeks, and the Bills have lost a couple games because of that. So I think some validation for the Minnesota Vikings. I'll be the first to say, Nestor, going into that game, the 7-1 Vikings, I was not convinced about them. When you look at how many close games they had played, what teams they had played, the circumstances. Okay, 7-1, 7-1, I get that. But in terms of how legitimate it is, they went and they proved themselves that it's, I don't know if they're 8-1 great per se, but they're certainly good. And you have to give them their credit for how they played. And then in the late afternoon window, wasn't as good as Vikings-Bills, but Cowboys-Packers ended up being a pretty good game. So, you know, the Sunday night game, the Chargers injuries aside, it was an entertaining game. So it was a good day of football. And in that sense, you know, to bring it back to your
bring
original
up Munich and singing Take Me Home Country Road. You forget, were you not awake? I mean, I did 15 hours of football on Sunday, dude. It started at like breakfast around here in Munich. Niels was there at 7 a.m. sending me videos of the crowd in Munich and all that stuff. So we had a good time with the Munich game. We thought that was fun.
Full disclosure, I went to church. I did see the last quarter, and I did see when NFL Network came back from commercial, they showed that clip. That was cool. I mean, that was neat.
Apparently, they sing that song at Oktoberfest in Munich, and they sing it like every hour. It's like it's a hymnal carol sort of thing. It's drinking music, essentially, in Germany. If it's hard to believe, unless you've been there. They're serious people over there for the most part. But that was... it was the story of the day, man.
It was really cool. And I mean, they got to see Tom Brady over there. I mean, even if it's a 45-year-old Tom Brady, it's still Tom Brady. So
he won.
Yeah, he won. And I mean, the Seahawks made it interesting late, but yeah, it was a great day of football. It really was. And you always enjoy the, you know, when you're talking about being a fan of a specific team, or in my case, a reporter of a specific team, you have such tunnel vision, right? I mean, especially if you go to the games and you see scores, but you don't really get to watch it and consume it in the way that, you know, a more casual observer who doesn't really have a dog in the fight, you know, the way that they can. And, you know, yeah, I saw lots of good action. I saw good teams. To your original point, you know, who's the best of the best? I think that's still up for debate, although certainly I think people are looking at Kansas City now, with Buffalo having stubbed their toe 2 weeks in a row. But, you know, I think the lesson, you know, if you're a Ravens fan watching this, is, again, it's a week-to-week league, and you never want to take anything, make any assumptions. But, you know, I think it's sitting right there in the AFC. I mean, they're within striking distance. They, you know, they'll finish this week, what, with the fourth, you know, the number four seed with tiebreakers and all that. But when you look at the schedule, you look at the schedules of some of the other teams moving forward, I think the Ravens are going to be right in it in terms of having a chance, which is all you can ask for, especially when you blow three second half leads in the way that they did early in the season in their first six games they're gonna have a chance and be in the mix to have a chance to be that number one seed. So that's fun. I mean, what more can you ask for when you're coming out of the bye week? You're getting healthier. You see a very advantageous schedule on paper, understanding that, yeah, it's the NFL. But I think this was a week where the Ravens fans could sit back and watch and look around and feel pretty good about where the Ravens are at this point coming out of the Week 10 bye.
All right, Luke, we talk about quarterbacks around here and Lamar. And to some degree, I think there's some fan expectation that Eric DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti were going to roll out $260 million for him this week and sign him up and all. I mean, I don't think that situation's even close. So from a reportorial standpoint and where I stand and where you stand on the inside and me with my nose pressed to the glass and I can't ask any questions of these people, I don't think that situation's close. But it is fascinating to watch Josh Allen, who is – all world, the greatest quarterback, the linebacker, lowering his shoulder, which isn't very smart against linebackers, especially when you're already injured. And then fumbling the ball on the 1 yard line. We could talk about him, but the weekly up and down of quarterbacks in the league and who's got Kirk Cousins. Who wants him? Nobody wants him, right? He throws the ball like Billy Kilmer and they win. That's all they do is win. Nobody wants to believe in him or say he's a franchise quarterback. I heard them call Geno Smith a franchise quarterback during the game. And I'm like, he's played seven games in 10 years. I mean, it really is. You said week-to-week league for teams. It's week-to-week on quarterbacks, even Tom Brady at 45 or whatever. Then Mahomes and Fields over the weekend, watching him run around, the kid for the Eagles who can do no wrong right now. But the quarterback position, and when we talk about the difficulty in playing that position and week to week, and what happens when your elbow hurts, or what happens when you have a purple hip because somebody gave you a hip pointer and you can't move and you can't move the way you want to move, you can't run the way you want to run. And I think we saw this with Herbert, right? I mean, the chest thing that he had going on, and we're expecting him with no receivers on Sunday night for the Chargers. But there's so much pressure on the quarterback position that even like a guy like Allen, who I don't want to say has nothing to prove, but certainly has nothing to prove as far as him being a quality quarterback. In the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden you go from 6-1 to 6-3, and you've lost to the Jets, and you know, it's the middle of the year and you're not right and your elbow's not right and everybody's counting on you. It's a tough situation for Allen, I think, because he hasn't been up this mountain and he's not Mahomes. He doesn't have a belt, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. I think, you know, you mentioned Tom Brady, and for me, Patrick Mahomes is the gold standard of this generation of quarterbacks because, like you said, he has a ring. He's been the most consistent. He's had a couple lulls here and there, but his have been much more fleeting. But you know, Josh Allen, in the same way we've talked about Lamar, you know, these are guys that while they've played at very high elite levels, I mean, and in Lamar's case, he's won a unanimous MVP. They're still chasing that ring and they're still chasing that standard that someone like Tom Brady puts out there, which is an impossible standard as far as what he's done individually, but everyone's trying to become that. And it is difficult. And you do go through periods of time where, something that you made look very easy for maybe an entire season, as Lamar did in 2019, or Josh Allen when he's played at his best over the last year or two, suddenly becomes a little more difficult. And Josh Allen specifically, and I don't really think it's the elbow. He hurt his elbow at the very end of the Jets game last week. He was playing poorly before that. He was shaky in the second half against Green Bay the week before that. So the point is, it's not this week-to-week referendum. You know, I mean, you mentioned Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback. It's a matter of where he ranks in that hierarchy. And most people seem to would believe, and I agree with them, that he doesn't rank terribly highly in that
well,
hierarchy.
Well, you look at him and say, can we win a Super Bowl with that guy or not? And the Vikings question... are all in. Dude was in the championship game. You know, dude has played well. You know, the Washington, you like that, all of that stuff. But now there's like sort of a new focus on him to say, yeah, Jefferson's having a great day. He's getting the ball. As weirdly as he throws the ball, and it's not impressive in that John Elway, Kyle Bowler, you know, but the ball gets there. And there's something about disrespecting some of these guys that aren't. Matt Stafford dealt with that for 15 years, right? And now look at the Rams. They're a shadow of, I mean, they're a mess at this point. They're so injured that they can't play middle of the season.
Yeah, and in the case of Cousins, I mean, let's face it, Justin Jefferson, that was easily the catch of the year on fourth and long, and may have been the best catch of the last decade. I mean, it's one of the greatest catches of all time, you know, especially when you take into account game situation. It was very similar to the Beckham famous Sunday night play, except there's a defender literally fighting him for the football there. I mean, that was extraordinary. So I hear you, and I don't want to completely discredit Kirk Cousins. I mean, they're 8-1, and he has a big part in that. But at the same time, is anyone going to say, I'll take Kirk Cousins over Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? Heck no. I mean, the Vikings might tell you that publicly. I don't think privately they would say that. But you don't have 10 Patrick Mahomes, right? You don't have 5 different Lamar Jacksons. You don't have 6 or 7 different Josh Allens. There's one of each of those guys. So if you're a team that doesn't have one of those guys, then yeah, you have to make the best out of whoever you have. So, but in the case of the Vikings, yeah, give them credit. And again, do I think they're 8-1 great? You know, in the way that you think of an 8-1 team, I don't. But I certainly think more highly of them now than I did going into Sunday's game, especially when they were trailing by 17 points at one point. So it's a great football game. It really was. And, you know, on the flip side, you know, when you talk about the Bills in the same way that we talked about the Ravens, when the Ravens were 3-3, I think you and I spoke about this candidly and saying, we still thought the Ravens were a good football team, but at the same time, you got to finish games. You got to win games, and you can't be in a position where, you know, you're choking away a lead the way that the Bills did on Sunday. And, you know, it wasn't just Josh Allen. I mean, their defense last, you know, the fumble aside at the end of regulation, you know, their defense still gave up points and allowed Minnesota to still move the football on them. They could make that play that they needed to make ultimately. So, I mean, it really is. It's really difficult. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And I think for me, and one guy we haven't even mentioned, Tua Tagovailoa, who another great game for him. And you look at where he is right now. I mean, you know, I think right now through week 10, which is through week 10, 8 weeks to go, you look at the MVP race. I think you're looking at Tua. You're looking at Patrick Mahomes. I think Josh Allen's taken a step back. I think Jalen Hurts is still in the mix just because of where Philadelphia is, but I don't necessarily put him as the front runner. And I think Lamar's still in the mix, you know, but I think he's, you know, right now fourth, fifth, somewhere like that. So,
well, Lamar looks a lot better when Mark Andrews is out there, or Rashad Bateman's out there, or Gus Edwards is out there, or J.K. I mean,
no question.
Talk about Herbert not having weapons. I mean, it's nice having Ronnie Stanley, and I would, you know, I'll check that box, and it's great having Roquan Smith, but he's on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Those things will help Lamar, but the thing that helps Kirk Cousins become Kirk Cousins is when Jefferson goes up, grabs the ball, and gets
no
open,
question.
Right? Literally.
No question. And just like what we've talked about with Tua, with having Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and the number of weapons he has now compared to where he was a year ago. I mean, let's face it. The Miami Dolphins were trying to acquire Deshaun Watson. I mean, they were done with Tua. Basically, you know, I mean, they were
after
trying to
they tanked for him.
right. So, but it does speak to you bring some weapons in, and we've seen this with AJ Brown coming to Philadelphia and what that's done for Jalen Hurts this year. So, I mean, it's your supporting cast does matter. You know, this is why people were banging the table about trading Anquan Boldin for a late round pick a decade ago, you know, and receivers that Joe Flacco had, talking about receivers that Lamar Jackson has had beyond Mark Andrews.
We're never going to let that go, are we? The Anquan Boldin thing.
No, I'm not. Until the Ravens have a franchise wide receiver for Lamar Jackson, whether it's via trade or whether they, you know, draft someone or they finally sign someone. And I'm not saying they have to do that, but until they have that guy, yeah, it's going to be part of the dialogue unless, and here's where we come back full circle, unless they win a Super Bowl playing this style of offense. And it's not a Lamar thing. It's the entire offense as far as what they prioritize and what they do best. And, you know, if they do that, then, yeah, people will be quiet about receiver, at least for a season. You know, then we'll get back to talking about it. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, it's, you know, you look at this league and it's really tough to win week in and week out. It's really tough to play the quarterback position at a high level week in and week out. And, you know, as much as Josh Allen had kind of I think not necessarily here in Baltimore, but league-wide perception had been that Josh Allen had closed the gap, or some people even would say had surpassed Patrick Mahomes. I think the last few weeks pumped the brakes on that a little bit. And that's not to say Allen's not a great quarterback either. It's just Mahomes has won a Super Bowl. He's been to another Super Bowl. And as much as we were just talking about supporting cast, yes, he still has a Hall of Fame tight end. Let's be very clear about that. But they did trade away Tyreek Hill, and yet Patrick Mahomes is still playing at this level. So we always talk about the mark of not just a great quarterback, but a special quarterback is elevating those around you. Patrick Mahomes does that. And that's where he deserves the credit and the nod in terms of where guys rank right now. Tom Brady all time, yes. But Tom Brady, 45 years old, no, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he played well in the second half and Green Bay got a win. But
he's another guy without weapons, right?
But we've also seen what he's looked like at age 39. I mean, even without weapons, he still hasn't played well. You know, I mean, people saw him trying to throw to his lineman in the end zone last week. I mean, just an awful throw. I mean, the play was there and he didn't make it. So, but it's tough. And you know, whether you're talking about age in the case of Brady or Rodgers, or supporting cast, as you mentioned with Justin Herbert, with what I think four of his top five pass catchers were out for that Sunday night game. You know, you saw him do some good things early in the game, but that kind of goes away then when you don't have pass protection and you only have a limited collection of weapons to throw to.
And by the way, the 49ers have come on. Garoppolo's he's the village idiot. He's the joke. He just won on Sunday Night Football again. And, you know, as a touchdown favorite and won, I mean, and they've got weapons now. McCafferty, oh, he's always injured. Okay, if he plays, Kittle, the whole deal. The middle of the year is different than September, right? We're starting to get to, it's Thanksgiving next week, right? So we're now talking about Mahomes, Allen, Tua, Lamar playing each other in January. Because I know a lot of these dregs, the Raiders and some, these teams aren't going anywhere. But we're looking at what will January look like and what will these matchups look like and who will the teams be as part of it. It's not going to be the Steelers, not going to be the Browns. I mean, who knows with the Bengals? You talk about the Bengals, Joe Burrow, the best of the best last year. He doesn't have a wide receiver now. I mean, I saw A.J. Green catching touchdown passes from a backup quarterback yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati still has wide receivers. They don't have the best one out there, you know, their best one in Ja'Marr Chase. But, yeah, I mean, this is where the cream starts to rise to the top, and you're halfway through the season or slightly over halfway for a number of teams, and you know, you're trying to really figure out who's going to be there at the end. And I think you have to look at schedule. I mean, you know, you mentioned the Bengals. Look, even if the Bengals' true talent level is right there with the Ravens, or maybe even slightly better than the Ravens, I don't think they're going to be there in terms of, I'm saying this right now. And in my latest 12 Ravens thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com, I'm going to mention this. I think the Ravens are going to clinch a division before week 18. And it's not so much that the Ravens are so much better than the Bengals or the Bengals are so much worse. Take a look at the second half schedules, Nestor. Cincinnati has a bear of a second half. The Ravens, on paper, and of course, injuries to key players can certainly change things, as we saw last year with the Ravens. But looking at this thing on paper, which is all you can do when you're talking about it as something that hasn't yet happened, I think the Ravens are going to be in a position where they have a great opportunity that they're going to be able to maintain a lead and separate a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to clinch in week 13 or week 14 or anything crazy like that. And I guess they couldn't mathematically, but you know, I think they could put themselves in a position where they could have this thing just about wrapped up by Christmas, let's say. You know, I think
it's a have and have not, right? I mean, you look at there's eight teams here that can't make the playoffs, right? You look at them and say, Patriots, no way, Steelers, Browns, Colts, Jaguars, Texans, Broncos, Raiders, even the Chargers. I saw them play the way they are. They're not making the. I mean, it feels to me like there's have and have nots in the AFC right now. And the way you say have is Lamar Jackson can't have his leg broken, right? As long as he's upright, as long as. I mean, even the Jets look to be very, very competitive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll have to disagree with you a little bit. I mean, you said New England. New England's in the playoff picture right now. I mean, keep in mind, seven teams have to make it. I mean, now, if you're asking me if I think they're a legitimate, serious Super Bowl contender, yeah, I would say no to that. But I mean, you look at this thing right now, and you have your four division winners, Kansas City, Miami. Keep in mind, Buffalo's a wild card right now because Miami has that half game lead and beat them back earlier in the season. The infamous Tua game with a concussion or non-concussion, I guess, officially. But, you know, Tennessee, Ravens leading the North. And then your three wild cards are the Jets, the Bills, and the Patriots. So, you know, I mean, I'm not dismissing the Chargers, but boy, they have to get healthier. I mean, but we've been saying that about the Chargers for years now. I mean, as much as we've talked about the Ravens' health issue, I mean, the Chargers have that every single year. They just seem like they're a cursed franchise. Cincinnati, look, again, true talent level, I still think the Bengals are one of the seven best teams in the AFC. But, you know, at this point, you know, how quickly are they getting Ja'Marr Chase back? How are they going to navigate that schedule? I think Cincinnati needed to be 6-3 at a minimum at this point, not 5-4, because I think you just look at the schedule and you start doing the math and you start asking yourself how many wins are going to be there. So, but yeah, you look at the rest of the conference, Indianapolis, hey, Jeff Saturday, good for him. He got a win. And it just speaks to how much of a, you know what, the Raiders are right now, that they lost to Indianapolis after the week that the Colts had. But you know, Cleveland, 3-6, Denver stinks. I mean, Russell Wilson, I don't even know what to make of that at this point.
They have a franchise quarterback. They paid for it, right?
They did. Yeah, they paid for it.
Caveat emptor on that one, dude. Right?
They have one in name. I mean, I don't know what – I think the big thing there is feels like Hackett's going to be one and done. I mean, you can't have Russell Wilson have that kind of a season and you're going to keep your job. I mean, I just I don't think that's going to work for him. You know, Pittsburgh. Hey, nice win over the Saints. What does it really mean? Yeah, we've said it. I think the Ravens have two games with Pittsburgh on the schedule.
They'll lose one of them.
I'm not saying they will. They could lose one.
I think they'll lose one of them. I think that's just okay. The way that you look. Everybody's sitting around counting the Ravens' wins, and we're just going to win 14 wins. I mean, they're going to lose a couple of these games, and the Steelers. And I think the Bengals, you know, are going to be really, really tough games for them. The rest of these games, they should win.
Let me be very clear. When I'm saying that the schedule sets up well, that doesn't mean I think they're necessarily going 14-3. Let's be very clear about that. My point is it sets up well for them to go, you know, have a really nice second half of the season and clinch the AFC North even before that week 18 matchup with Cincinnati. I think they'll have an opportunity to do that.
Well, the Bengals are going to lose some games. Right. I mean, they play at Pittsburgh, at Tennessee. They host the Chiefs. They have to go to Tampa. They have to go to New England, and they have the Bills before. Yeah. I mean, they have real games, the kind of games we had in the beginning of the year.
I mean, right now, let's look at it. I mean, the Ravens are 6-3. I think there's a very realistic chance that they can go 6-2 the rest of the way. I think 12-5 is very doable for this football team. And I don't even think that would be a Herculean task. That would be, you know, you lose at Cleveland or Pittsburgh, one of those games, you know, whether Watson's back or whether the Steelers have a great defensive game plan against Lamar, whatever it is. And then let's say you lose week 18, which, by the way, if my scenario plays out, the Ravens could be resting their starters in that game because they've clinched a playoff spot.
Bring on Snoop.
Yeah, exactly. And you, maybe you're not the number one seed, but you still have a chance to rest up a little bit, which I would still do. You know, I don't care what happened in 2019. I would still do that if I have the chance to do that. So, but you look at that. I mean, if Cincinnati goes 6-2 the rest of the way, I mean, that would be really impressive with that schedule, but that still leaves them behind, right? That still leaves them as a wild card at best. So I'm not saying they're going to go 6-2, but if they do, that would be perceived as, wow, that's really impressive.
Whereas if they go Ravens, 6-2, nobody can catch them, is your point, right?
Yeah, well, the Ravens, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think Cincinnati is going to be able to be that good down the stretch, that great down the stretch, quite frankly. They would have to be great.
Over well, 6-2 is tough if you got to go to Buffalo and do it, and you got to go to Tampa and do it. All that's over with, right? Like, that's the part of this schedule where we looked at this, and we feel differently about these teams this time of year than we did when the schedule came out.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as week one's weird, and we could say, yeah, you know, Joe Flacco was playing and the Jets, I mean, Sauce Gardner and some of their other rookies were, that was their first NFL action. I mean, that Jets game has aged, that Jets win has aged very well, you know, relative to what we thought in week one. So, you know, the New England game, I mean, the Patriots are in the wild card picture right now. So, you know, that win, you know, not that I thought New England stunk back in week three, but you know, that wind looks a little bit better. So you know, I think what's going to be, I was watching the games on Sunday with my best friend, who's a huge Ravens fan, you know, a guy who's really pays attention and understands how this works. And he agreed with this point. I think what's going to be tough for the Ravens and has nothing to do with the schedule or which games are going to win, or, you know, if they end up losing one or two more games, whatever. I think you do look at the second half of the schedule, and in an ideal world, maybe you'd like another tough test at some point, maybe before the week. Because, like I said, week 18, if the Ravens have clinched the division and Cincinnati is, I mean, maybe that, you know, they'll be playing for something, I would assume. I'm not expecting the Bengals to fall apart. I just think they have a really tough schedule. But you look at the second half of the schedule: Carolina at Jacksonville, Denver at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, Atlanta, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Until you get to week 18 against the Bengals, are we expecting any of those other teams to really even be in the playoff race, let alone talk about being a playoff team? There is a sense that, you know, from an intangible standpoint, maybe you'd like to have another tougher game at some point in December, let's say, but you play the schedule that's presented to you. And this team had a tough schedule over the first 6, 7 weeks, you know, first 9 weeks of the season. And, you know, they navigated it at 6-3. So you feel good about that. But, you know, the one thing that you kind of point to, and let's face it, it's where they are right now with Lamar Jackson and this current era of players. It's all about January, right? I mean, is anyone going to be that excited about just making the playoffs? No, you're excited about the opportunity to do something in the playoffs. You know, it's not like the Orioles this past year, where if they had snuck in as the third wild card, you're saying, wow, you're just happy to be here. The Ravens are beyond that. You know, this current era of the Lamar Jackson era Ravens, they're beyond that. It's time to do something in January and to advance and play deep into January and get into February. So from that standpoint, you navigate the schedule. It's quite forgiving on paper, but you know, at the same time, would you like to maybe have a December test? Like, for example, 3 years ago when they played the 49ers in Baltimore, and remember, that was everyone thought was going to be a Super Bowl preview at that point in time. So, you know, you never know how it's going to play out, but at the same time, you know, you look at the schedule, Ravens will have a chance to really stack wins, but at the same time, it's not necessarily going to be those big time matchups that you're going to anticipate having in January, which it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not a criticism of the Ravens whatsoever. It's just, you know, kind of where how the schedule falls at this point. And, you know, back in May, you thought Denver coming to town in early December might have been a playoff preview, but the Broncos kind of stink. So instead, it's going to be what it is. And you want to get a victory and just move on to the next week. And that's, you know, it's going to have to be a very business-like approach in that way, because you're not necessarily going to have those games that are going to hype, you know, that are going to get you really excited from a hype matchup standpoint, other than just your traditional division games, which, as you point out, not a given. I'm not ready to say Pittsburgh is going to beat them in one of those two games, like
Well, you have four
you
games left in the
predicted.
division.
But
You think they're going 4-0?
no, well, I'm not
Right.
saying
Yeah. I
that,
mean, I
but
just.
my point is, I would actually say, Nestor, if you're going to ask me if they're more likely to lose to Cleveland or Pittsburgh, I would actually say the road game against Cleveland.
Because
But
they can't stop the run. I mean, they run the ball well. If you can't stop the run that day, you're going to struggle.
well, I mean, it,
I think you're going to be better stopping a run with Roquan Smith in the middle.
oh, sure. Well, but at the same time, I mean, whether it's Deshaun Watson or Jacoby Brissett, Cleveland's better at the quarterback position. I mean, Kenny Pickett looks better a month from now, but the overall point that you made is a completely valid one. And I'm not expecting, let's be clear, when I say the schedule's forgiving, I'm not saying they're running the table. I just think that it sets up for
Well, they
them
better not
to.
lose to Denver and Carolina. Somebody scrubs. You know what I mean? In
Oh, yeah.
division, you sort of like they go 2-2 again in those four games.
They're
You'd say
fine.
that's where it should be after you've won the first three, right? But in the division, I can't imagine them going 6-0. I mean, I
Yeah.
that that's a hard thing for me to think about.
Well, and again, that's where you kind of look at, okay, what's week 18 going to look like? Are the Ravens, is it going to be for the AFC North? Which, you know, it certainly could be. I'm not going to dismiss that possibility. I just
Well,
don't.
both teams will have something to fight for, whether it's positioning or it's a bye or something like that. But the Bengals will be fighting to get in the playoffs at that
Well, and
point, I
that's the
would
big
think.
thing. And even if you're in a position, if you're the Ravens, where maybe you can't get the number one seed, but you know, you're trying to jockey there for seeding, or is it better off that you say, hey, let's take Lamar out of the injury possibility equation and we rest our guys, but Cincinnati's still playing for it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to go 14-3, but I do have high expectations that they can really run through this second half schedule looking like a very serious contender. Again, the problem is how many great tests are you going to really get to be litmus tests for you in the second half of the season? And maybe Cincinnati in week 18, but other than that, it's going to be a bunch of games that, let's face it, they're going to be favored to win these games, and they're going to be a bunch of games where you just say they should win. You know, I already saw the early line for Sunday against Carolina. You know, they should be a double-digit favorite kind of team against a team like that. Jacksonville looks okay at times, but they're Jacksonville. You know, they're not very good overall. They look okay for like 15 minutes at a time. So does that equate to maybe a close game? Maybe, but it's still a game the Ravens should win. So, you know, you just go down the list and you just say, hey, win, 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 win. You know, a couple games you'll say we'll see, and we'll see what they look like at the end. But certainly what we saw on Sunday, you know, with Buffalo losing, looking at some of these other teams, the Ravens are still thinking number one seed, as they should be going into the second half of the season with the schedule that they have on paper, I'll continue to stress.
All they do is win, 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 no matter what. Carolina this week in a 1 o'clock game, then off to Jacksonville. I still have my flight. We'll check in with Chad Steele on that for Thanksgiving. And I also, Denver Broncos on the 4th of December before they start to go to Pittsburgh and get into division action. Luke and I will be around all week. Luke will be at Owings Mills at practice. You can find him, Luke, at WNST.net, as well as Baltimore. Luke, I will be at Pappas in Cockeysville on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I'm sporting my Window Nation shirt. Love my windows, especially, Luke, the windows. When it gets cold out, the windows are even better because it's staying warm inside. I tell you what, leaving downtown, I'm not freezing anymore. I don't have my thick socks on anymore. Big appreciation to our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as our friends at Goodwill. We will be assisting next Wednesday, the 23rd, in serving some unfortunate folks in downtown Baltimore. We're doing a special Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday the 23rd. We do need some volunteers. You want to throw me a note, ness@baltimorepositive.com. I'll try to hook you up with Jonathan and Lisa and the folks at Goodwill to help out with that. And a big thanks to our friends at Wise Markets for pitching in on that as well on the 23rd. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.